guys, what's up? This is Astral Dim laying in my bed because you know it's my bed in astrology. Yeah. I'm going to be talking about Venus today during the Venus day. You know what I'm saying? What up, what up, what up? I did a post talking about how Venus is going to be visible. Right? Venus finna be visible as the evening star. So this is going to be a lot of auspicious energy happening right now. Now, with my personal beliefs, no matter if Venus is the evening star or the morning star, there's some auspicious energy, but it depends on, you know, how you see things. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to talk about that as well. I'm actually going to make a note to talk about that so I don't forget. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to make a note about that, but basically, I'm going to be talking about this whole movement that Venus is making when it turns evening star, morning star, blah, 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 blah. Now, this is actually connected to the Sun-Venus Cassini that happened back in like late March, around like March 25th. I would think I was telling you it started March 25th to the 27th, the 28th. That's really important. The Sun and Venus Cassinis, they're not just a thing. It's not just a coincidence. There's something happening in the fucking sky, okay? That is deep. That is deep. And, you know, I'm just gonna get started with it. But just know that this evening star, or this connection when Venus is going to be visible in this, you know, Venus conjunction or Cassini that happened earlier was the more auspicious one. I feel like the other Cassini that happens, and you're going to know what I mean later, is auspicious too, but it just comes out differently. Okay, it comes out differently. But anyways, let's talk about this, okay? So, guys, when I'm saying I'm going to talk about Venus, I'm not talking about love, relationships, and romance, money, material things, self-worth, material worth, money, jobs. Like, I'm not talking about that shit. I'm not. I'm talking about how Venus is connected to heaven and hell. I'm talking about the real two sides of Venus. I'm talking about where Venus is in the sky, the points that it makes in the sky. You know, so this might be on some intermediate advanced side of astrology, but this is something that you need to be aware of. And when you're, it's not that difficult, you know what I mean? But when you're aware of it, you can make better decisions. You know, when you're aware of what's happening in the sky, you make better decisions. So these are the people who are, you know the basic of astrology already. And even if you don't, you're just interested and want to know my take on this thing. Because even if you don't know the base of astrology, you might be, ooh, the tea. Oh, my God. You know, you might just be into it because what I'm going to talk about is very, very interesting. And this, it can't be a coincidence and it's strange, okay? And it has a spiritual implication to it. So even if you're not into astrology, but you are into spirituality, you'd be really into this too. These are for the people who'd be actually looking at the sky. When it comes to astrology, these are for the people who you know, been studying for a while and they already know this probably anyway, but they just interested in hearing my take. These are for those type of people. Okay, so let's talk about this. All right, so there is actually a 584 day cycle between the Sun and Venus. Now this cycle is connected to when Sun and Venus conjunct into a Cassini. Now, if you don't know what a Cassini is, I'll explain it to you now. A Cassini is when the Sun is conjuncting with another planet so tightly, and we call it that. We say that the Sun, the planet is at the heart of the Sun. So this conjunction has to be a 17-minute conjunction, not degree, minute. So you know when you see, oh, a planet of mine is at blop blop degrees and it's like another set of numbers that are smaller, that's minute. So it has to be at a 17 minute conjunction, right? And with Cassinis, you know, people like are really find that this energy is really, really important because During Kazemi's, the sun actually can finally work together with the other planet, instead of overshining it and overcasting it. What often happens with conjunctions is that, if it's more than that 17 minute, the sun is so bright that it overcasts and it outshines the other planet's energy. And what happens to us as people who are born with sun conjunctions with other planets that are not Kazemi's, oftentimes our ego, our conscious reactions, our talents and self-expression kind of overshadows the other aspects of that planet, and so it can't integrate that well, right? And so let me give you an example with me, right? I have some sun conjunctions. My sun is conjunct Neptune, not a Kazemi, just a conjunction, right? And while growing up, this is something that I'm learning, that I'm still learning, but I've definitely learned a chunk of the lesson within the past 5 years. But while growing up, usually my conscious self-expression will overcast and overshadow my intuition, in the sense of this, right? Spiritually and intuitively, I will be feeling like something's gonna pop off, but then I'll be like, well, that doesn't make sense practically, so let me just do the most practical thing, because I'm a Capricorn, right? And take action on this, because that's the most practical thing to do, right? And I talk about this, before, when I mentioned, if y'all heard about me and my Saturn return, I talked about this before, how God was giving me clues, baby, on like, bitch, you're not supposed to be doing corporate, why are you here? And I did not listen, because I was doing I wanted to take action and take the most practical action. Remember, Capricorn is cardinal earth. And so I was like, let me just do this, and delayed my ass like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of like your conscious reactions and self-expression blocking the other energies that you have. It's not that it's not there, you have it, but you are making the sun shine brighter than the other energy that's trying to help. You understand what I'm saying? But with Kazemi's, right? With Kazemi's, what makes them special is, again, it is the conjunction so tight, right? It's at a 7 minute conjunction, 7 minute orb. And so the planet's at the middle of the sun. And so the rays of the sun is not overshadowing it that much, because it's dead in the middle. A lot of times, like for instance with Mercury, we can actually see Mercury sometimes when Mercury is making a Kazemi with the sun. We can see Mercury in the middle of the sun. We can actually see that shit, right? And I talked about that before, maybe 2 years ago, when it had not the last time it happened though, like it happened like November of, I think, 2019. So I talked about this before. But when another planet is at a Kazemi with the sun, the planet's energies integrate well with your ego, with your talents, with your self-expression, with your conscious reactions to things, because the it's in the middle, and so the actual sun's rays is not blocking the energy of the planet. You know what I'm saying? So let's use Sun and Mercury Kazemi's as an example. A lot of people who are really amazing at their hands, with their hands, is a good example is guitarists. A lot of guitarists actually have Sun Mercury Kazemi's. One that I can think of that people be arguing is one of the best guitarists ever, and he is nasty with it, Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton has Sun conjunct Mercury at a Kazemi, right? But listen to this. Mercury is all about technicality. And I feel like Eric Clapton, on a technicality level, amazing guitarist. Think about Mercury. Mercury's about communication, day-to-day work, routine, is attention to detail, practice. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about, you know, logic and practicality. And so Eric Clapton was once interviewed, and someone was like, how does it feel to be the best guitarist in the world? Eric Clapton said, I don't know, ask Prince. Sun and Mercury Kazemis can make you practically and logically like ill, and it can, like, again, make you, you make you have the intelligence and the hands to be able to really work at something really well and be detailed oriented on a practical and logical level, but you're missing the soul, baby. That's why Prince is, you know, real guitarists know that Prince is the better guitarist, right? They know. Again, the people who are saying that is the best guitarist, or saying Eric Clapton is the best guitarist, they will ask him and he would be like, no, it ain't me. There are people before me, because he knows the deal. You're missing the soul, baby. So it's, you know, Mercury's help will help you practically and logically, but the feels of it, you know, that's what's missing there. But Eric Clapton's nasty, though. I'm not taking away from him. I'm just literally saying what he said. And I agree with him too. You know what he's talking about. So that's the difference. Like with Kazemis, the two planets' energies integrate better, and so they work hand in hand in this beautiful mix. And so it creates high intelligence for, but if we use the Sun and Mercury, for example, it creates high intelligence. It creates amazing, like, communication, great with hands, great with detail, orientation, routine, planning, all that shit. Anything that's Mercury is connected to, it, you can express it, because Sun is connected with self-expression, express it appropriately. You get what I'm saying? So I do want to add that. All right, so now that you know the difference between a regular degular conjunction and a Kazemi, right, let's continue. So again, like I said before, there is a 584 day cycle between the Sun and Venus, right? And that cycle is connected to Sun and Venus conjuncting exactly, which is a Kazemi. Okay, within five cycles, it makes that conjunction with the Sun, Venus, makes that conjunction with the Sun five times, making a total of a five-fold pattern. And in the sky, when it makes those conjunctions five times in that 584-day cycle, it makes a pentagram. I'm going to say that one more time. When Sun and Venus, every time it makes a conjunction, okay, every time it makes a conjunction with the Sun, it is tracked and people see that it makes a pentagram in the sky. What the fuck? What the fuck? Like, am I the only person that is like, what the hell is happening here? This is something that I always knew, but it never ceased to amaze me. Never. Like, I what? That is insane. That is insane. And so lately, the Sun and Venus have been doing the Kazemi conjunctions in Leo, Scorpio, Cap, Aries, and Gemini. The last conjunction it made was in Aries season. And the next one that's going to happen in 2022 is in Cap season. So it's still within that cycle. Okay? So a complete pentagram is formed after those five complete cycles. So after, you know, that 584 day cycle happens five times, that's when the complete pentagram is created. So this is turns into when the 584 day cycle happened five times, that actually equals up to about 8 years. 8 years and some change, or a little bit short from 8 years, excuse me. So, yeah. Now, this is crazy because the five cycle sets identically repeat the pattern with an offset of only 2 degrees. And so the pattern will happen again in those signs, but shifts 2 degrees the next 8 years, and then shifts 2 degrees the next 8 years. And then it keeps, the pentagram keeps shifting and shifting. So it's not going to stay in the pattern of Leo, Scorpio, Capricorn, Aries, and Gemini every time the Sun and Venus creates a Kazemi, right? It's going to eventually shift out of those signs, okay? Now, let's talk about the pentagram for a second. Can we talk about, actually, you know what? We're going to talk about the pentagram in the next section. So let me break this down. Let me talk about the pentagram in the next segment. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. All right. So let's continue with this. So a pentagram is basically a five-pointed star. We've seen it everywhere. We've seen it used in Christianity, representing the five wounds of Yeshua. We've seen it in Wiccan related stuff. We've seen it as like even like the Star of David is a five-pointed star. Like we've seen the five-pointed star, we've made the five-pointed star, right? And usually people see a pentagram and automatically think evil, but it's not. This has been something that's been used for a very, very, very long time. The first recorded use of pentagrams was, I believe, the ancient Sumerians. They used it. I believe it was the meaning of life, I believe, but I could be off. The ancient Babylonians used it. Asian cultures like Chinese and Japanese use it as the five elements of life. This is something that's been used literally all over the world. In every continent, the pentagram has been around. In far recent, even though that sounds like an oxymoron within itself, it's been associated with evil, because basically somebody was like, well, this is what happens. Someone who's been like, was researching, you know, magic books and stuff, said that upside down pentagrams are evil because basically it's showing that it is the adverse like order of life. So kind of like how the upside down cross is connected to like evil and like Luciferian type of shit, you know what I mean, and satanic stuff. They say that the upside down pentagram does too. What the interesting thing though is, like, Freemasonry has used the upside down pentagram. So I kind of wonder, like, if they're calling this evil because, you know, people want to like push away from Freemasonry so bad, you know what I mean, and all of that. Which I don't know. Listen, I'm not that deep within the Freemasonry stuff, so I don't have the knowledge like that, but I feel like there is a lot of confusion for some reason with that due to theocracy. But we're not going to get into that conversation because this podcast will be long as fuck. However, the Church of Satan does use an upside down pentagram. You know, people who practice black magic in any form uses the upside down pentagram. Black magic is a whole other thing. I don't think black magic is something that, like, no, you should never use it. If you need to protect yourself, I think you should. I don't think black magic is just evil overall. It could be used for evil, but I feel like it could be used for protection as well. But we're going on. I think we're I think just people are very all or nothing with certain things, and you need to kind of realize the polarity of everything. Okay. There's a polarity of everything. And you're going to see what I mean when I start talking about, you know, Venus's connection to Lucifer, but we'll get into that though. We'll get into that. Now, you know, the pentagram's usually used as something that is evil, even when it's upside down or right side up, because people think that, oh, you're using magic, because they could associate it with Wiccan stuff. And you know, the whole thing with like religions trying to cut off Wicca, and so they're like, okay, no, don't use it. You have to just listen to us and be into Abrahamic religion and Abrahamic religion only. Realizing that, you know, literally the thing is that Abrahamic religion uses pentagrams too. So I just don't, it's so confusing, child. I don't know. And then like, you know, of course, you know, because like, you know, other peoples with other belief systems use pentagrams as well. You know, they're like, no, you're not being, you're not doing the white Christian thing. So no, everyone has to be white Christian, and that means no pentagrams. You get what I'm saying? Even though they use pentagrams, it's just, don't ask me. That's confusion to me, but that's just what it is. So both, all versions of pentagrams, sometimes people be like, ah, pentagram, run. I remember like, even like Eazy-E had a pentagram tattoo. And so everyone thought that he was like into like Satanism, and he wasn't, you know, and his pentagram was right side up too, but they're like, no. And so it's like people get really, really sensitive to pentagrams, whether it's right side up or upside down. But you know, who knows? I think on a personal level, there is a difference between the upside down and right side up. I feel like the right side up is light, the upside down is dark. But you know how I feel about light and dark. Light and dark could be good or bad on both levels. Like, so again, you know, and don't worry, I'm going to talk about this cycle more, but I really want to put this in here real quick. An example of light energy that's good is people who are going out there and helping people in need openly. They're just going out there and like, no, we're helping people in need physically, doing what we gotta do, buying stuff, we're just doing it. A good example of negative and low vibrational light is mass killings and mass shootings. You're seeing what's happening. It's right there in your face. It's no sneaky shit. It's light. You see it, right? And for dark energy, a good dark energy is people doing magic and root work and conjuring and manifesting to help others. You know what I mean? People who do like Reiki to help the collective. People who are doing energy and healing work to help the collective. And stuff like that. So they're doing it in the dark. No one's really seeing it, but they're trying to help the collective as best as they can and lift the vibration of the collective. Negative dark work is doing spells on for selfish reasons or to fuck people over because you're mad at them or something stupid like that. So you get what I'm saying? There is polarity in everything. And I'm going to get deeper on the polarity of the connection of Venus and Lucifer too later on. But I do want to make sure y'all realize that. So I think there is polarity in the pentagram as well, whether it's upside down or right side up. I think it's a representation of light and dark, because think about it, it does represent the elements of life. You see what I'm saying? But anyways, that's just what I think. But let's keep talking about this cycle that happens, right? So like I was saying before, every time the sun and Venus conjunct, it is marked at a specific spot. Lately, in the sky, lately it's been happening during in Leo season, Scorpio season, Cap season, Aries season, and Gemini season. Okay, and you know, this basically happens, the conjunctions of both And both versions of the conjunctions happen at a 584 day cycle. And the pentagram is complete and formed in the sky little short of 8 years, right? So it's an 8 year situation that has to happen. Okay. Now what's really, and you know, I already talked about that earlier. Now what's really interesting is that each step within the cycle happens every 36 days or in the multiples of 36 days. So what's weird is that, like, if a step is involved, it's either happening in 36 days or in the multiple of 36 days. So remember in the video that I posted, I was saying that usually, Venus will become visible 36 days after Sun and Venus conjuncts, right? That in at a Cassini, that's what I'm talking about right there. Okay, so I was saying that, like, this Venus is going to be visible as the evening star sometime in late April. We got to figure out when. But this is the thing too, sometimes if it's too late, then it could create some mess, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, but you know, around 36 days is when Venus is going to be visible as the evening star, and that always happens. But any steps of the cycle happen usually in 36 days or in multiples of 36 days, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later as another example of, you know, a cycle happening within 36 days. But let's talk about the different types of conjunctions, right? So Venus forms a conjunction with the Sun in two different ways. There is the inferior conjunction and the superior conjunction, right? A Venus cycle actually begins at the inferior conjunction when Venus is exactly between the Sun and the Earth, right? And at the superior conjunction happens when Venus is on the far side of the Sun. So what happens is the Sun is in between Earth and Venus. Okay. So there is the superior and conjunction and the inferior conjunction. The superior conjunction happens when Venus is in between the Earth and the Sun. The inferior happens when Venus is in between the Earth and the Sun. The superior happens when Venus is behind the Sun. And I believe they, you know, there is a meaning to the positioning. There's a deeper meaning to the positioning. But I'm going to talk about that later, because I want you guys to understand why one's inferior and why one is superior. So the reason why they call the inferior conjunction inferior is because it starts during when Venus is retrograde. So the next one that's going to happen is in January 2022 at January 8th, right? And it's inferior because Venus is conjuncting the Sun, but Venus is retrograde at the time. So it's moving backwards and conjuncting the Sun. As we know, retrograde energy is very internal. It's hard to work through and everything. And so people are saying, like, oh, okay, this is the inferior conjunction. But when Venus is going direct and conjuncting the Sun, that is a superior conjunction. Now, here's the kicker. The inferior conjunction, you know, people see it as being, you know, tougher to work with because it's retrograded energy. And people just like damning retrograded energy. But, you know, this conjunction is actually called Phosphorus or Lucifer conjunction. And Lucifer means light barrier. As we know, Lucifer was a fallen angel because, you know, they was trying to be defined with God, but it's the light barrier, right? Now I do want to pause and talk about this, right? when it is an inferior conjunction, right? Around 36 days later, Let me say this. Around 36 days later is when the sun and Venus are 10 degrees away from each other, right? Now, what happens during a Kazemi and a conjunction, the sun's rays are so bright that it blocks out Venus and we can't see it. The sun's just too bright. So we can't even see. The sun's so bright that we can't even see Venus. Okay? So Venus is dark and not visible until Venus is 10 degrees away from the sun. And when Venus is finally 10 degrees away from the sun and visible during an inferior conjunction, mind you, while it's retrograding, when Venus is retrograding, the Venus is available. And I mean, not available, but Venus is visible after the sun, after around dusk. So it's around, it's the morning star. It's literally morning star. As you know, morning star is connected to Lucifer. All right. So there's that. So, you know, when Venus is, when you see Venus in the morning, and it's called the morning star, knows that that is because, you know, the conjunction before Venus was visible was an inferior conjunction. So that's Venus's connection to Lucifer. Now listen to this though, because Venus, as we know, has a connection to Lucifer. Literally, the inferior conjunction is called the Lucifer conjunction, and it's, you know, Venus is the morning star at that time after the inferior conjunction, right? The thing is that people like to put Lucifer in a place, right, of like damnation and like you know, saying that Lucifer is just like all bad and like is just defiant of God and doesn't work with God. Now, am I saying that Lucifer ain't even fucking up people's lives and shit? You know, but this is interesting. Lucifer's name is Light Barrier. So Lucifer brings light to things. It brings light to your fuckery. Okay? So even when you get like the devil card in tarot, it's showing you like, yo, you are chained to something and you're willingly chained to it. So all really Lucifer is doing is showing you yourself. He's the light barrier. He's bringing light to the darkness that you have, that you need to realize and unchain yourself to. So technically, Lucifer is working for God. Lucifer is the tester. That's why when you know you hear Christian songs and they're like, you know, Lucifer's trying to do this, Lucifer's trying to do that. Like, that's testing. Lucifer is testing for God. And so he has to be low vibrational to bring out that energy to you to see if you're strong enough for certain things. So when you really think about it, is it all that bad if he's technically working for God? Or is Lucifer just doing his job? Think about it, baby. Now, I'm not saying go ahead and be like fucking with this dude. He's a trickster. I ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, like, you know, I understand that there's different polarities of everything, and with demons and all of that. I rather not fuck with anything that's involved with low vibration and selfishness. That's just not what I'm into. I know certain people like to do as you will. I'd rather not. And I have my own reasons for that, and I'm not going to talk about that right now. If you want me to, definitely let me know and I will. But you know, think about it. Is Lucifer all that bad if he's technically working for God? He's just doing it dirty, but he needs to. That's about his job. So you see what I mean? There's light and dark and everything. There's polarity and everything. Come on now. Okay.
Anyway, so after like 260 days after the inferior conjunction in, you know, and all of that, Venus reaches into its superior conjunction with the sun. And that's basically when Venus is conjuncting the sun in its direct. Okay? Now, the funny thing about it is 260 days is 36 times 6. So there goes that 36 happening again. And think about it. Like, it kind of reminds you of the 369 method of Nikola Tesla. Because, you know, 3 and 6 is in 36. 3 plus 6 equals 9. Come on now. Okay? Come on now. I feel like I'm saying a word. I feel like I'm a preacher now. Okay? So there's that, right? 260 days is 6 times 36. So there goes that 36 cycle, all right? But anyways, 260 days later, Venus does reach a superior conjunction with the sun, because Venus is actually going direct and conjuncting the sun. And that happened, the Kazemi that I was talking about, in March, okay? All right. Now, during this time, Venus is like speed demon, okay? It's running at like a degree in 15 minutes per day. So Venus is like super duper fun fast. It's a runner, it's a track star, okay? It's going fast. And it's interesting because Venus does like go fast and then slows down, and go fast and then slows down. It slows, you know, every planet in our view slows down during retrograde season, because it starts to move backwards. Venus, in our vision, Venus is technically not moving backwards, but Earth is moving so fast. Earth is moving so fast that it looks like Venus is going slow. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like that. But Venus, no planet is actually moving backwards. It just looks like it's moving backwards in our view. It's like when you're in the highway and you're driving in a highway, and it looks like a car is moving, like driving backwards, but you know it's moving forward. It's kind of like that type of situation. Shout out to my homie Steph, because she made that comparison, and I was like, yeah, exactly. I was trying to describe retrograde stuff, and she used that as an example, and I was like, exactly. So shout out to my homie Steph. But yeah, so there's that, right? And so the thing is that you know, again, like I mentioned before, for several weeks before and after any conjunction, and especially the superior conjunction, Venus is so close to the sun in the sky that it's no longer visible. So in this instance, remember I was saying that Venus was not visible since Aquarius season in February, and it's still not visible now, and it won't be visible until April. And that's because Venus was so close to the sun that we could not see it. And, you know, Venus is direct. And so this is connected again to a superior conjunction. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So, Venus, you know, once it becomes the furthest away from Earth, it is now seen as the evening star, which is what we're going to experience later on this month. And we call this Hesperus, which means Western. So it's the Hesperus star. And then like I mentioned before, like 36 days after the superior conjunction, when the sun is around like 10 degrees away from Venus, that's when Venus appears in the evening sky after the sun sets. And so that all ends, that evening star energy ends when Venus is retrograde. Because remember, Venus in retrograde is connected to inferior conjunction, in the cycle of the inferior conjunction. Venus going direct starts the cycle of Venus in its superior conjunction. Okay. It starts the cycle of the conjunction. Venus and Sun is not conjuncting yet, but you know that, the gazini is about to happen. This, the cycle's about to start. This part of the cycle is about to start again. Okay? And usually when it comes to the inferior conjunction, the Sun and Venus conjuncts exactly in the middle of Venus retrograde, like dead in the middle. So if Venus is retrograde at that dead in the middle point, that's when it, that's when the complete conjunction happens. So, you know, there's actually two sides to the Luciferian conjunction and the Hesperus conjunction, all right, or the morning star conjunction versus the evening star conjunction. And I'll just say this, the morning star version of this energy, the morning star, or the morning star, the Lucifer, Venus, tends to be more external, and the evening star tends to be more internal, right? And it makes sense because, you know, it's the morning star, so light is being brought out. You know what I'm saying? Light's being brought out, and so it's going to be external. But then, you know, the evening star happens after the sun sets, and so things are darker and, again, more internal. It's like the sun and the moon energy. You know what I'm saying? Now, the difference between the energies is that the evening star energy is like more, again, like I mentioned, internal, but at the same time, you know, this is Venus in that's direct. And so things are more auspicious. You know, you get along with certain energies better. You connect with others better. Money could be had more easily. Things are more just generally auspicious. And you know, you're able to kind of like exude certain type of energies better. That's Venusian, on the more high vibrational Venusian vibes, you know what I'm saying? And so you know, people tend to favor more of the evening star and the Hesperus version of things, right? But the morning star, you know, it, the energy shows more of the kind of low vibe, people consider low vibrational Venus. Knowing your abilities, you're very charming for sure, but vain. You're a go-getter, but you're kind of materialistic with it. You know what I'm saying? Just think of like the whole Lucifer story on how people talk about the son of the soul and how Lucifer's kind of like, yeah, you know, I'll make you famous. I'll get you everything you want. You want money? You want a car? You want this? You want that? I got you. Let me get it for you, right? And Lucifer gets it for you, and you have all the things that you want, but now you got to sell your soul for it. And now it's kind of like that genie vibe where you like, you end up not being what you really want out of life, and you're not really happy, and you like, but you still gotta have that exchange now. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that vibe. Like, yeah, you're getting all the material things that you want. You're very materialistic. That's where the 666 comes from. It's 666 is not necessarily evil, but the reason why it's connected to Luciferian energy is because that's how Lucifer tests you and gets you. Not through materialism, but in a way where it's like, if you're materialistic, then you're evil. No, it's not through that. It's through Lucifer knowing that because you're 3D, you like material shit, but there's nothing wrong with liking material shit. But the fact that you will sell your soul for material shit, Lucifer peeps that, and that's how he tests you. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So, 666 is not evil, but again, it has a light and a dark to it. You get what I'm saying? And the darkness comes from that side. All right, so this is so crazy that I'm talking about this right now, and I'll mention it later on why I think it's wild that I'm talking about this. So crazy. I want to check something transit wise too, but yeah, so that's like the difference between the energies. And so if we're talking about transits, right, during the evening star moments, when Venus is available as an evening star, you know, we can really be able to work on self-love, work on true self-love and self-worth, right? Because it's working, and then it's more authentic and internal with it, you know what I mean? And it's not internal in the sense of like how Venus retrograde is internal. It's a different type of internal. It's kind of like, hey, I'm working on myself internally so I can output appropriately externally. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like that type of vibe. The reason why it's internal is because it's more night related, because it's the evening star, you know? But the morning star energy is kind of like Venus retrograde, in the sense of like realizing, you know, your external world is happening, right? And you're being vain, you're being materialistic, you're using your charm, you're ending things based off of Venusian elements and stuff like that, right? It's not all bad, of course, but you know how Venus retrograde, what it does is it allows external things to happen so you can eventually be more internal and fix what's happening to you internally. That's how morning star version of Venus is on a transit level, right? So it's not bad. It's actually helping you with your healing, but it's shedding light. It's letting you know, baby, you got things to fix. You're not realizing it, so I'm gonna show you, motherfucker. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the two differences. So now we're approaching the evening star, so we're having true self-love, true self-worth, true harmony and balance within ourselves. And it's being we're getting to that level, right? We're getting ourselves there, so we're actually are gonna gain it on an external level again, because the Kazemi happened when Venus was direct. You get me? Morning star is the lessons, evening star seems more like the reward. Okay, after light has been shining on us and we realize some shit. You get me? And remember, Venus was retrograde last year, so you know. All right. Just in case you're looking for it, just in case you're looking for the Venus, you know, with Venus in, if you're looking for the evening star and you're like, you know, I'm going to start looking for it now. It happens when the sun sets and Venus will show in the west. And for morning star, that's not going to happen until like January of 2022. You have to look where the sun rises to the east. Okay. Now, let's transit wise too. Venus is the evening star when Venus is in front of the sun, so when it's ahead of the sun. And Venus is the morning star when Venus is behind the sun, because think about it. Morning star is when Venus retrogrades. Venus is visible when it's 10 degrees away from the sun. The Venus is retrograding, so it's going to be behind the sun. And then same with Venus with evening star. Venus is direct, so it's moving past the sun. You know what I mean? And so transit wise, Venus is, or in chart wise, I mean, when it's evening star or evening star is about to happen, we notice in charts because Venus is in front of the sun or ahead of the sun degrees wise. And we know morning star is happening or about to happen because Venus is behind the sun. And it's like way, I'm talking about way behind, okay? Way behind. All right, so this actually applies to you natally as well. All right, so determining your Venus again is very easy. You know, find your sun, find where your Venus is. If Venus is clockwise from your sun, you are a morning star Venus or Lucifer Venus. But if Venus is positioned counterclockwise from your sun, or, you know, in front of your sun, then your Venus is Hesperus or the evening star. Okay, so again, just to reiterate this energy, if the sun is further along the zodiac or your chart, you know what I mean, then you have the Luciferian or morning star Venus. If your Venus is further along the zodiac or in front of your sun, you have the evening star or the Hesperus Venus. And so with how I described those situations helps you realize what type of Venus you are, whether your Venus is retrograde or not. So most people that have Venus retrograde, they are most likely going to be a Luciferian Venus. But, you know, the thing is, it's like there is a point though when Venus is retrograde but approaching the sun. So technically those Venus retrograde folks, they are actually a evening star, a Hesperus. Even though Venus is not actually evening, an evening star yet, even though it's not approachable yet, they're still in the evening star vibe. Alright? So that actually describes like what type of Venus retrograde you are too. Because some people in Venus retrograde be like, yeah, like I resonate, but not that much. It's because you're an evening star Venus. And it's retrograde, but you're still an evening star Venus. You get what I'm saying? And so, yeah, so all the things I said with the transits, it applies to you personally too. So Venus is, I'm an evening star baby, okay? So Venus is like in front of my sun. So with me, you know, I'm for like, you know, the connection of relationships on a one-on-one level and exuding that energy outward and trying to at least, even though I'm quite internal myself, you know, trying to do that shit. These, you know, people who are more evening star Venus are open to relationships. But I notice like morning star folks, like they can take it or leave it. It's not like they're against another one. They're like, they kind of like that with it. But yeah, like it's really interesting. It's really interesting. You know what I'm gonna do for the this segment's really long. For the next segment, I'm going to speak on a little bit more on the differences between the two, okay? And I hope that helps. All right, so here's some of my last words with this Venus thing. I said Venus thing. And so I do want to, you know, speak more on the differences natally between someone that has a evening star versus a morning star Venus, right? So the morning star Venus folks, definitely a lot of people say this, that they feel and emote first and then they think later. Has very like impulsive, adventurous, even spontaneous type of energy. And they you know, if they feel something, they're going with it. What it reminds me a lot of is people with like fire or water energy, you know, but of course someone can have a Morningstar Venus, and don't have it in a water or fire sign, but it kind of brings that energy out onto people a little bit, you know what I mean? But they kind of live life in an adventurous way where they go at certain situations with all their might, all their heart, all their energy. And you know, it may stay, it may fail, but they will eventually come out of it and go at something again. You know, they're very open to experiencing and new experiences in general. And they just have that more, let's just live life actively type of vibe. And that's just how they are. Now, with that energy, though, you can't ignore the fact that, you know, they will have the pain and will have the hurt of any other person, right? And, you know, that they will get disappointed in life. Actually, it's funny. The evening star Venus folks tend to go through an immense amount of pain. And sometimes people say even abuse in early in life, but it don't have to be that way, of course. But one thing that you can say is that they experience what they feel is painful very early in life, and so they become more guarded or protective when it comes to anything Venusian, anything that they really love relationship wise or materially, you know what I mean, anything that they value emotionally or materially. And a way to guard it is by knowing to let go and going after whatever they want to go after, right? However, the evening star people, like I said before, are definitely more internal instead of like the morning star people that are more external. The evening star folks, they think before they feel and emote. You know what I mean? Extremely internal with their emotions. If they will feel, they have feelings, but they internalize it and they try to be as logical and practical as possible before acting on their emotion. They may even have a delayed reactions to how they feel. You know, that often happens too, because they're trying so hard to be logical and practical. But the thing is, though, is that regardless, those deep emotions are there, but they're controlled and very, very, very introverted, like extremely, okay? Which honestly gives them, you know, almost an intense vibe, you know? And this is how, again, this is very similar to how earth and water people are. However, of course, you can have a fire or I'm not earth and water, excuse me, earth and air, right? However, you can have fire and water energy and definitely be a evening star, you know what I mean? These people are actually they rarely hold a grudge to emotional scarring, or not hold a grudge, but hold on to emotional trauma and emotional scarring. It takes them longer to recover than morning star people to like traumas emotionally, you know what I mean? And they don't want that thing to happen again, and so they guard themselves by just closing in instead of guarding themselves like Morningstar people by just like, okay, new situation, you know what I mean? So you know, both of these people feel intensely, but they go about it differently. It actually speaks more on the temperament of their emotional energy. So it adds to, you know, I do want to say this, you know, modalities show like your action towards things, while your element shows more of the temperament that you have. So this Venus energy of the morning star versus evening star adds to the element, adds to your temperament, to your Venusian energy. You get what I'm saying? And so, like, for instance, if someone typically has a more laid back temperament because they are of earth or air, but they have a Luciferian or a morning star Venus, they may, you know, battle between having energy that is more reserved but also can tend to be very external with their emotions as well and their experiences, you know, or like they have certain things that they're internal about and have certain things with the external about when it comes to Venusian matters such as money, love, relationships, balance, material things, all that, you know what I'm saying? So you know, astrology goes deep. There's always just so many different layers to it, you know what I mean? But yeah, like that's how that energy goes, you know, how that's how both end of those energies go. Now what's really interesting too is that, remember how I was saying that, like, there might be people, for instance, who have a morning star, but they their Venus is direct, or they have a evening star but their Venus is retrograde. Again, that is the blend of both energies, you know what I mean? And so for instance, like, I know somebody very close to me who has a morning star, so a Lucifer Venus, however it is not retrograde, it's direct. And so, like, yes, they go after like for love, for instance, they go after different relationships, and they, like, when they go, they go, when they come, they come. They're just very like, all right, let's experience, let's go. But there are certain times where they're like, okay, now I'm done experiencing, let me just chill for a second. So then they turn into their evening star to kind of recoup and understand what's happened to them internally. And their Venus is actually in a air sign too, and so they typically want to reserve as well. So they have like these teeter-tottering moments, and that's what I was kind of explaining before. And the same thing could happen if it was the other way around, if they are a evening star but their Venus is retrograde, you feel me? So yeah, and if someone has like a morning star retrograde, that energy's strong, you know. That's a potent example of how the morning star energy could be, you understand what I'm saying? And then same with people who have an evening star but it's direct, blah blah blah. All right, so other things that I do want to mention too, I have some notes here that I, because I didn't want to forget what I was like certain points. Hold on one second. Boop, 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 boop. Okay, so one last thing I do want to talk about before I end this is the mundane part. So I'm not sure if you guys know, but mundane astrology kind of talks about world predictions and shit like that. And there's this thing with Venus of being visible at a certain time. Now, like I said before, typically Venus is visible 36 days after the Venus Sun Kazemi. But sometimes it's a little bit fashionably late. You know, Venus is connected to fashions and beauty as well. Okay. Sometimes it's fashionably late, child. So the thing is that, like, because of that, you know, that could cause some problems. There has been, I was actually watching Alada, who was talking about this in her April forecast. So definitely check out Alada Tutnacheva. Amazing, amazing astrologer. One of my favorites, honestly. We're both Aquarius risings, and we have the same approach. It's very, very, very similar approach to astrology. So I fucks with her heart. But she was actually saying that there's been a history of tragedies and traumas involving Venusian things, you know, when it comes to Venus being visible, like, after 40 days. So that she said there was one time in which, like, Venus was visible, not at what they predicted for Venus to be visible. It was like after 40 days, so way past the 36 days. And people were surprised, but like, oh, Venus is visible. But there was like a financial crisis that year. You get what I'm saying? And so like, we have to be watchful of that. So definitely, you know, take a look at where Venus is. Starting now. Just look at the sky, look towards, you know, it's going to be an evening star. So look towards the west when the sun sets and see if you see a bright, bright star. Venus is, while it's Venus is an evening star, it's it's the brightest star at the moment. I'm pretty sure. I know Polaris is the brightest as well, but Venus is sometimes brighter. So it's usually the brightest star towards the west, at the very least. You know that, right? And see if you see it. You know, see if you see Venus. Venus, it doesn't twinkle. So that would be a good help for you. When you look at Venus in the sky, it doesn't twinkle like a star. If something doesn't twinkle like a star, that helps you know that it's a planet. You know what I mean? Just in case you guys wanted to know that. So look towards the west. See if you see Venus. See if it's visible. If you're confused, off, you know, Google's real. Google's awesome. You can Google to see if Venus is visible or not. And let's see. Let's have a countdown of when Venus is going to actually be fucking visible. And if it's like towards 40 days, and you guys, there might be some trouble. And that might be a indicator for us to like save up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I made some predictions last year on a possible financial issues happening. If Venus is late around this time, I wouldn't be surprised. But this is actually a mundane thing, so it's not going to happen to everybody on a personal level. Will people be affected? Yes, because it's a global and a world prediction. It's like a global situation. So yes, this is going to affect some people personally, but not everybody. Especially because it's an evening star. So, you know, evening stars are more auspicious than morning stars. Morning stars do have its auspiciousness to it. So we can't forget that, like I was saying before. For instance, if you're trying to end shit, if you're trying to realize things internally, and realize patterns that you have, if you're trying to let shit go that's involving things that are very Venusian, and when I say Venusian, I'm talking about, again, Venus is connected to money, to jobs, to stability, to security, to self-worth, to self-esteem, to relationships, to harmony, to balance, to beauty, to music, you know what I'm saying, to art. These are all Venusian things. You know, you may have to just be cognizant. That's what I'm saying. Maybe just be cognizant. Alright, so with that being said, I'm definitely going to look out in the sky, see what's popping, blah blah blah. Let me know if you guys have any questions about this, but know that luck is going to turn around regardless. You know, even if things around the world looks a little funky, there's going to be a lot of personal wins. So don't think that, oh, you know, If Venus is late, don't think that shit's ruined. It's not, okay? You can have a lot of personal wins too, all right? I hope this was helpful, y'all, and I love you much, and kisses to you. This is coming from a person with Venus in the first house and an evening star Venus, okay? And not only an evening star Venus in the first house, but in the Venus decan. All right, this is who's telling you about this Venus shit. All right, but I hope this was helpful. It was so much fun talking about. Let me know if you have any questions. Love you. Bye bye. I said I used the example I used for a Mercury Sun Kazemi was actually incorrect. It's not Eric Clapton, it's Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. He's the one with a Mercury Sun Kazemi. So I'm sorry for the misinformation, y'all. It happens. So it happens when you accumulate a little bit too much information. You start mixing it up. plum. But yeah, sorry about that, y'all. But yeah, it's not Eric Clapton, it's Jimmy Page. But I think Eric Clapton did say that quote where someone was like, how does it feel to be the best guitarist? And he said, I don't know, ask Prince. But I don't know if Jimmy Page, how he feels about him, you know, his position in you know, being an influential guitarist. It might be something I'll look up a little later. But yeah, like Jimmy Page actually is has a Sun, Mercury, Kazemi in Capricorn. I believe it's like 19 or 20 degrees Capricorn. Ain't that crazy? And it's a peregrine too, which I talked about in on my TikTok. But a peregrine is when there is a Kazemi happening, and it's not making any major aspects, right? So it's not making any aspects his Mercury Sun Kazemi. So it's like pure energy of just the Sun and the Mercury working well together. And it's conjunct his third house cusp too. So he has Mercury in there with his Sun, showing that his intelligence and communication and his practicality and his logic and his act of practicing as a routine is, like, you know, a part of his ego, a part of his conscious reactions, a part of just how he expresses himself. You get what I'm saying? And it's just, it works in his favor because it's at a conjunction and there's no other planet that's influencing that. It's just the Sun and Mercury. And the thing is, Mercury and the third house cusp is connected to hands. He's a guitarist. So no wonder he's known as one of the best guitarists. And then it's technically in the second house in Placidus, which represents that he's making money off of it. Come on, man. When people try to tell you astrology ain't real, just tell them to shut up. Like, I get to the point where I just ignore folks. Like, man, get the fuck out of my face. Seriously. But yeah, y'all, like, I'm sorry for the mistake. But, you know, it happened. Love you, though. Bye. Real quick, y'all. So, what I'm going to do is, when Venus is visible, I'm going to make another episode, a part two, to explain the energy a little bit more. Because I was going to talk about it.
Sorry.
I was going to talk about it, but then I was like, well, I don't know where Venus will be exactly when this all happens, you know? So I'm going to wait until Venus is actually visible, and then I'll give, like, a little read or whatever. And then I'll give you guys some tips on how to harness the energy and utilize it and all that jazz, okay? So thank you for listening. Love you. Bye-bye.